The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
You to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 3rd of May 2017, and we're going to read an excerpt. We got our good friend Will Dinwiddie. He hasn't been with us in about a month and a half, and he'll be in here momentarily, but I want to tell you about two things that if you're struggling with your training, if you're looking for other avenues to get big, strong, efficient, and being just a willful person, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. It's not a download. Well, it is digitally downloaded, both of them. But go out to the Winner's Circle. These are 12 modules that I did that start from, they trace right back to my roots, right through pullovers, thick bar training, high shrugs, dips. You name it, it's all out there. Sandbags, stones, all the stuff we love to talk about on the show. For $299, you're getting a minimum of 35 minutes per episode there. And we will give you free the 13th one called The Stewards of Strength Gatekeepers. That's about 20 minutes long, and I talk about the philosophy of what strength truly is to me, and what we have hit upon on the show. So go out, look at that product, change your life. Secondly, Etched in Stone, that is the premier product. That's an 8-week product. And we've brought in some of the best people to work with me on it. We have Dory Peterson, who's an RN, nutritionist. Dr. William Wong, as everybody knows, best naturopath, I think the best anti-aging doctor on the planet. We have a medical doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Smith. If you know anything with his history with me, I took him almost about a year and a half ago at 184 pounds of body weight, 45 years of age. I took him from a bottom position, dead stop squat at 150 pounds to 305 in 1 year. Think about that. Also, too, we have Steven Santangelo, organic farmer from Kentucky, and a guy that just knows, I'll tell you, by far one of the smartest people I've ever dealt with nutrition, training, you name it. He's in with us. Dr. Dale Dugas, if you've seen him out on Facebook too, martial arts. Also too, he makes the best topical formulas you could ever use for soreness, bruising, and any of us that love to do what we do, we get a lot of that stuff. So go out and check out Etched in Stone, another premier product here. It's all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, go out to MotivationMuscle.com. Like I said, we have Will coming in here shortly. Go out /category/podcast. Just look at all the shows Will and I have done in the last year. Phenomenal information. I saw a thing out the other day. There was this girl looking for podcasts, and Will, being the supporter of the show he is and a friend of mine, he gave up Motivation Muscle, and I did thank him there. Very important to keep getting the word out, because for anyone who hasn't been listening, in April and May, we have broken records of downloading this show. This show is becoming more and more prevalent, not only all over the world, but very big out in the UK, Scotland. If you've been listening to the people on here, we have got some major lifters from Scotland on here now, and we're growing more and more. In fact, I'm going to be putting a show up at some point today. We bring Stephen Murray in from the UK. Wait till you hear the stuff he's done. And he's written, which is real interesting, a manuscript on Donald Denny. Real interesting people, and we thank everybody for all of you being part of the family here. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? I don't believe I've got anything else. We're going to read something real quickly, though, and then I'm going to introduce Will. As I told everybody, my mom's been cleaning a lot of stuff out, pictures and everything, and my dad's been gone for quite a while. And my mother found this in one of the cabinets with a lot of the pictures when we were kids. And the book is called Lombardi, Winning is the Only Way. And this is all excerpts from guys that played for him. They loved this guy. And my dad, being a New Englander, I was very surprised he'd be a Green Bay Packer fan. But I don't think it was so much the team. Well, I think it probably was a team, but it was Lombardi. Because Lombardi and my dad, it's that Italian, you know, knuckles right to the chin, man. They did not mess around. So this is what Frank Gifford wrote. I saw the movie Patton, and it was Vince Lombardi. The situation was different, but the thought was the same. We're here to do a job, and each and every one of us will put everything we've got into getting the job done. That was Vince. Patton believed in reincarnation. Who knows? Maybe it was Patton who coached the Packers, Frank Gifford. With that in mind, we are going to bring in a real winner here, too, Will Dinwiddie. Number one, he's a trainer. Strong man. He's the owner of Epic Fitness Solutions. He's a writer and an arm wrestler. And you really need, if you haven't friended him on Facebook, you need to go out and look at this phenomenal athlete. Because one thing I admire about Will over most people, this guy is success no matter what he goes into. And this is what we need to really keep us going and bring in more and more new people, the motivation and muscle, and show the world that you can be as strong as you want to be, as kind as you want to be, and a leader. And as my dad said, be a leader, not a follower. I don't bullshit people when I say this. This is very, very important. Will, welcome back, brother. Great to have you, and as I said, big admirer.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's a pleasure to be on here again. I love the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Anything I missed? Websites? Give it out. We're going to talk about a couple things before I bring Will back in. We're going to talk about his meeting with Bill Kazmaier, which was incredible when I saw that out on Facebook. And it's probably going to meld into expectations, driving, framework. It all kind of goes together. So, Will, give out your info and we'll get started, brother.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Facebook under Will Dinwiddie or Epic Fitness Solutions. And then I'm also on Instagram as Epic Fitness Solutions. And then you can check out my website, Epic Fitness Solutions. But that's what we do is epic things here at Epic Fitness Solutions.
Absolutely.
And the meeting with Bill, man, what an experience.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I first walked into the building, okay, let me just go back in time.
Sure.
So back in time to when I first started strongman. I first got into the sport of strongman in 2005. I first started studying it in 2006. And in 2006, I remember getting on the internet at work on my lunch break and checking out World's Strongest Man from like the 1980s, you know, because I wanted to, for some reason, I wanted to find the oldest stuff I could and work my way up from there. You know, and so I ran across these videos of Bill Kazmaier, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but I just remember watching the videos and thinking to myself, I love this guy's intensity, and I love the way his confidence is. You know, I'm like, I love that he's like, you know, a ball of rage, you know, like,
yeah.
And so I studied his videos, I don't know how many, for 4 years straight until 2010. And then in 2010, I started looking at other people's videos. I started checking out who all the top 105s were in the U.S. and in the world. And, you know, like I started looking at some of the other bigger heavyweights, you know, who the best other best heavyweights were. But for about 4 years, that's the only – I mean, I looked at other videos, but I always went to the Bill Kazmaier videos when I wanted to get fired up for a contest.
Sure.
Because that's how I wanted to compete, was like how he competed. And so fast forward, you know, like all this time, I never think that I would ever meet the guy. Never in my life did I ever think that I would ever meet this person that I was watching videos of all this time, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm over the years, you know, I'm doing strongman, I'm becoming a champion, I'm achieving my goals and stuff. And then I'm watching him, and he's a commentator for the World's Strongest Man. You know, he's been doing that for many years. You know, of course, I find this out later, you know, like, but he's been doing that for a lot of years, since the 90s.
Sure.
You know, and then, but, you know, I never, you know, I see all my friends going to Arnold Classic, all my friends that are better than me at strongman going to the Arnold Classic, getting a chance to meet Arnold, meet Bill Kazmaier. They're like having the time of their life, you know. And I'm just thinking, like, man, I wonder what it would be like to experience that, you know, to be able to meet a guy like that and talk to him. And then I get tagged in this, you know, that leads us up to current, you know. But you know, I'm not really thinking too much about it. But throughout time, you know, I wonder what it would be like to meet these figures, you know. And then my buddy tags me, one of my clients actually tags me in this post on Facebook, and he says, "Hey, dude, Bill Kazmaier is going to be up in Portland at Savage Gym on Saturday for a little Q&A to like a little seminar." And so I was like, "Holy cow!" You know, I was like, "I ain't got nothing going on. I'm there." So then I tag a bunch of people that I thought would be interested in checking it out also to see if somebody else would show up. And one of my clients, my fight coach, he shows up and he wants to go check it out. So we roll up there together with my daughter and stuff. And as soon as we get up there, as soon as I get out of the car and I'm walking into the gym, I see him from a distance from like 30 feet away or whatever, 35 feet away.
Yep.
And I can't believe it, dude. I feel like I'm like, oh my God, he's real, dude. It's really real. Yep. You know, like I was, because you never know when you show up to a place like this if they're going to have canceled for some reason and not be there.
Sure.
Because that's happened before. So I go in there and I'm like, oh my God, it's really him. And I walk up to him, and he's such a nice guy, dude. But I walk up to him, and I'm smiling like crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him, and my mind went blank. I didn't know what to – I couldn't think. I was like starstruck, and I couldn't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
And I haven't felt like this before. So I was like, oh, my God, I thought I'd feel like this if I ever met Arnold, but I can't believe I'm feeling like this because this figure means – like I've put more effort into my life to be like that than I ever did to try to be like Arnold, you know?
Yeah.
Even though Arnold was the first person that me and a lot of people, you know, aspired to want to be, to look like, you know?
Yep.
So I walk up to him and I'm looking at him and I'm smiling all crazy, right?
Yeah.
And he looks back at me and he's smiling at me and I don't even know what to say. And I was like, oh my God, it's really you. And he looked at me and he's like, yep, it's really me, last time I checked. And it was really cool. And then after it seemed like forever, but it was probably 30 seconds, you know. I was like, I was just blank there, and it was kind of starting to get a little weird, and I was like, can I get a picture with you? And he was like, of course. And so we took a picture. You know, that was when I picked Madison up.
Sure.
And I grabbed his hand like an arm wrestler handshake, and I was like, because I wanted to get a good shot of my bicep on the inside.
I saw that. Like, yep.
But he out-angled me, so it didn't work right. But he got a great shot of his arm. His arm looked all huge and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I grabbed his hand, and when I felt his hand, I was like, God, dude! I was like, you got a huge thumb. His thumb was about twice as big as mine.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck. And I said, hey, have you ever arm wrestled? And he's like, I arm wrestled one time in my life, and I arm wrestled some good guys over in Europe or whatever, and my arm was sore for 6 months after that.
Whoa!
And I was like, 6 months. I was like, damn. I was like, you must have had some good matches, you know, because it's usually about 6 weeks. It does take a long time for your tendons to get used to arm wrestling training.
Sure. So.
When you just jump into it being really strong already, yeah, you're going to be sore for a while. But anyway, so then I started, after I asked him that question, then it kind of broke the ice for me, and then I relaxed, and then I was just like treating him like he was just, you know, like a friend, you know, like somebody that I had known for a long time, but, you know, like I hadn't seen in a while, basically.
Yeah.
That's how it kind of felt, you know, but he didn't know me, you know, like, but I knew of him. Because all the videos and everything, but he knew nothing of me, you know, like, of course, you know, like, you know, I'm not his caliber athlete, you know, so.
Well, hey, think about it, though. There aren't many that are.
Right. So, I mean, he's a busy guy traveling around the world and stuff.
Sure.
So then I get into wanting to ask him all these questions, and he's like, oh, my God, this guy's got so many questions. He's like, He's like, tell you what, man. He's like, those are all great questions. Why don't you save them for the seminar? That we have a lot to talk about. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we get in the seminar, and then he goes, he's like, all right, I'm scheduled for an hour, but, you know, sometimes my hours turn into 2 hours or 3 hours, you know. Just depends on how it's going and what the energy's like here. And I was like, right on, cool. I was like, well, at least we get a full hour with him. I was like, and in my head I'm thinking, this is so much better than if I saw him at the Arnold Classic or something that, because you wouldn't get a chance to sit and talk to him because he'd be too busy working, emceeing, you know, like that's commentating, that's what he does, you know?
Yep.
So to get this hour with him, I felt really like it was a special gift, you know?
Like,
and I wanted to make the most of it. And I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, right in the front, dude.
Yep.
And I was, and he answers questions and stories.
Yep.
He creates a story to answer your question, so he doesn't just give you the straight answer that you're looking for. He gives you a story, and then he gives you the answer at the end.
Yep.
He's a cool guy like that. So he comes out, he says, hey, I'm Bill Kazmaier, you know, World's Strongest Man. He tells the years that he won it. Then he goes into the years he was the World Powerlifting Champion, and he talks a little bit about bench technique, and he's real soft-spoken, you know, like, but Madison started, he was talking to Madison, my daughter, a bunch, because she was up front too, and he kept referring to her to because he likes talking to kids, you know, he's really into kids, you know.
Yep.
So he gets this deep voice, you know, like he does when he's on the World's Strongest Man, you know, like when he's commentating for a big lift or whatever, to kind of like wake her up, you know, like, and Madison's she's losing interest, she's falling asleep over here. I gotta do something to get her up, you know, like get her fired up, you know. He's such a cool guy. So he goes in, you know, kind of describes himself a little bit. And then he's like, okay, anybody got any questions? And I'm like, me, I got a question. And I jump my hand up, and I'm like, I got a question. He's like, okay, yeah, Will? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm like, I start asking him questions about, like, World's Strongest Man. You know, I think the first question was that I asked him, I was like, what got you into strength sports? What got you into doing this? How did you find out about it when you first started? It all got started from the YMCA, because that's why he was there originally anyway, was to promote the YMCA, because the YMCA has, you know, over 100 gyms around the world. And, and they originally started in Europe. The YMCA started in Europe, and he wanted to promote the YMCA. And I was a member of the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Me too. Back in 2008, where I had mentored a kid from the YMCA, the local YMCA.
Yep.
So the YMCA is a cool place, you know, like, but he was promoting the YMCA, and he talked about when he was in high school, he went to a local YMCA to learn how to bench, squat, and deadlift for football, because he played football. He played football for Alabama.
Yep.
He was a 230-pound fullback. And they wanted him to get bigger because they wanted him to be on the line because he was so strong. But he wanted to hit people. He wanted to run people down as a fullback. He liked that. He liked running people down. Mm-hmm. Is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want him to play that. He couldn't go. You know, they wanted him to be a lineman. He didn't want to be a lineman. So when football didn't work out, he started working out at the local gym, the local YMCA. He asked me, what do you think what my first ever deadlift was? What do you think was the first time I ever deadlifted I could pull? And I was like, 6'2", 230 pounds. I'm like, I don't know, 500. He's like, 600 pounds.
Nasty.
I was like, 600 pounds? He's like, what do you think my first ever squat was? I think he said his first ever squat was 600 pounds.
Unbelievable.
I was like, oh my God. And his first ever bench press was 300 pounds.
Yep.
I mean, he could bench press 300 pounds the very first time he ever tried. I was like, how could you could push those kind of numbers like the very first time? I'm like, so obviously the guy was gifted with genetic gifts for strength, you know? Like, of course he went on to do a lot more. He trained himself to become the very best he could be, which we got to see him lift some really heavy things.
Yeah.
In comparison, but having a base like that to start with, I mean, you know,
yeah, you're going.
It's going to be hard to compete against something like that, you know, especially with a guy that's so into it. So
yep.
I also got to talking to him about his childhood and stuff. Well, here's the thing, dude. When we were there, I think I don't know how many people knew who Bill Kazmaier was or knew like the significance of who he is as
yep.
a person.
Yep.
And the significance he has in the strength sport community, especially the sport of strongman. I mean, he's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of strongman.
Absolutely.
He's who everybody that's a pro strongman or the heavyweight pros or the world's strongest men competitors, they all know Bill Kazmaier. You
yep.
know, like Bill
yep.
Kazmaier may not know of them, but everybody knows of him, you know, for the kind of athlete and competitor that he was. He was so dominating during his time period when he was the best.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, when he was in his peak and stuff, you know, and a lot of people say to this day that he's the greatest. He's, you know, if you were to take him and put him in modern times, he would still be the best.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people think that.
The only guy I ever thought was a rival, I mean, there were some great ones. John Powell, obviously, that was during his era. They would go back and forth. But, you know, the only one, I mean, there's a lot of great ones, but the guy that I always use as the measure besides Kazmaier is Zydrunas Savickas, man. I mean,
that's Bill Kazmaier's favorite strongman right
absolutely.
Now. Absolutely. He said of all time, Zydrunas is my all-time favorite strongman, and he's like, it's because of the titles that he's won. He's
absolutely.
Won so many titles.
Absolutely.
No one can compete with that.
And I don't.
Fortissimus, that was a really heavy contest in Canada. The Arnold Classic so many times. The World Strongest Man so many times.
And he's competed.
The IFSA World Championships.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, I don't know. You don't hear whether he retired, and then you see these pictures of him all trimmed down.
Oh, dude. He's like 340 right now, and he's.
Yeah.
He was set to compete at 340, but he fucking tore his shoulder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
On the fucking hip, 1,500-pound yoke in training.
Okay.
So he was doing a 1,500-pound yoke in training, and he tore his fucking shoulder, dude.
That sucks.
That tore his shoulder.
Yep,
I was like,
yep.
Jesus, dude. I just took a 1,000-pound yoke
three days ago
for the first time.
Yep.
I mean, I can't even believe it. The pressure was so intense on my back.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you couldn't breathe at all, you know? Like, I took my big breath of air, and I lifted the weight, and then I took my first step, and I knew instantly I was not going to be able to breathe. So I had to go off. I couldn't let any more air out because I let air out a little bit at a time as I walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I start sucking it in.
Yep.
Well, with that much pressure, my core was so tight that if I let out any air, I was going to relax and drop the
weight. Yeah, you have to drop it. Yeah, absolutely.
So I had to keep the internal pressure really high. So I couldn't let any air out, or else I was going to lose the weight faster. So I held my breath and walked as far as I could. On that one breath, I made it 5 feet.
That's awesome.
And then I let out because I can show in the video. I walked 10 feet with the weight.
Yep, yep, yep.
So the first 5 feet, all my air is gone. I lose it all. And then the next 5 feet is all fucking willpower. It's all I want to make it to that cone because I said that was my goal. And I'm willing to pass out for it.
Absolutely.
In my head, I was telling myself that. And then I fucking made it there. And then I dropped it. And then I was like, that's it, dude. I can't fucking do it. I can't lift that motherfucker up again.
No, that's the end at that point. Well, getting back to Kaz now. I mean, did he?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. So after you asked him the questions and things like that, did you get any more just one-on-one with him, Will, at that point? Or what happened?
Well, you know, I mean, basically the whole seminar was a one-on-one session
awesome.
With me because
because
you know I was sitting up front. I didn't want to be rude and ask all the questions because he's like, you got an eight, and then it's like after he'd answer my question, he would use a story to answer it. So it'd
nice.
Take 5 or 10 minutes.
Yep.
To answer the question, and then he'd be like, okay, next question. I'm like, okay, I got another question. and then he was like, all right, Will, I'll let you have another question.
Yep.
And then I said, I asked him, the first question I asked him was, what got you into it? He used another story of when he was a kid. He talked a little bit about his childhood. So he had a really rough childhood.
Yep.
His dad was abusive and had no emotion toward him.
Right.
So Bill was really cool. Like, he was really, like, cool about this. He talked about... you know, I didn't I didn't know how to treat people when I was a kid. He's like, I had to learn love and emotions and softness and stuff from other people, from other places. I didn't learn that stuff from my family where you think you're supposed to learn it.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, dude, I fucking love this guy, dude. I totally relate to that, dude. I'm like, I feel like I had to do the same thing, you know, like, now he talked about his dad, like fucking was so abusive that he threw a brick at him, and hit him in the back when he was like 10 years old because he was in his playing in his imagination land and his dad wanted his attention.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how he would get his attention. You know, it's just like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how could you, as a dad, I'm thinking, how could you do that to your own kid? You know, like, how could you hurt your own kid like that? You know, and I'm thinking, this fucking dude, like, you know, like, wow, I can't believe he went through all that. And so that's kind of when you think about how people described his rage when he was in, when he was out there competing, a lot of it stemmed from that, you know,
sure,
like that abusiveness that he took as a kid, and he not understanding why this is happening, only wanting to make his dad proud of him, and nothing he did ever was good enough, you know? So it's like, you know, that boiling rage comes from like that, Phil Pfister described him as a ball of boiling rage or whatever. And that comes from, you know, his rough beginnings.
Yeah.
And he also, but you know, he also learned how to, he also got his work ethic for training from, you know, some of the things he did as a kid, also working hard, for like, people that would give him like these odd jobs, you know, like,
sure.
He described one job that he did, cutting trees down and you know, logging trees or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So they would take you know, like an average tree to cut one tree down and limit and log it up, you know, like cut it into smaller pieces and load it.
Yep.
I guess normally takes around 4 hours or something like that. And they did two trees in 2 hours because the guy that he was working with made him run everywhere he went, and he made him grab, you know, large amounts because Phil was bigger and stronger. He was like, he would make him grab, you know, four limbs in each arm instead of just two or something like that. And he's like, now you're going to run with it too. He's like, we don't walk on my jobs, you know, like
exactly.
So he learned how to work hard from actual people that worked, like blue collar guys that you know, like a logger, basically. He learned how to work hard from a logger. You know, he learned his work ethic from that kind of thing. And then his passion for lifting, when he got into the gym, he started chasing numbers, you know, because he was so strong to begin with. There was a talent there, and then he just went with it.
Yep.
And then before you know it, he was the world powerlifting champion, and then he's getting invited to the World's Strongest Man. And the World's Strongest Man just, you know, was created in 1977.
Yep.
And how did they find these athletes? They basically picked them from like football team. Who the strongest guy?
Yeah, I loved all that.
Who's the strongest guy in the NFL? Who's the strongest Olympic lifter? Who's the strongest power lifter? You know, like
bodybuilder, all that stuff.
Whatever. Yeah, who's the strongest bodybuilders? Let's get them all together and find out who the strongest man is.
And I'll be honest with you, I really liked it like that. I mean, yeah, it's good now, but you know, I like that era of
the qualifiers. Yeah. You have to qualify now. Yeah. But
I mean, you know, when you got guys like Reinhardt and all these people, Ken Patera, I mean, you're seeing them, Louis Ferrigno, they're all bending steel across their head. I mean, I love all that stuff. I think that's right now.
Ew, and they didn't train for it.
That was the thing. Things now, like everything, is specificity, and I enjoy watching it, don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to lean towards WSM, it's going to be more of Kazmaier's era. I like the earlier stuff. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes you can see it here on CBS is the only one carrying it now, but if you're going to watch it, it's going to be late at night. You know, if I come in from like tonight of lifting, chances are it might be on at 11 o'clock tonight, but you never know on a schedule. I think there was a more of a purity to it too. Like when you see some of the stuff with the McGlashan stones and the old wooden barrels, I gravitate more towards that. I understand it's more of a They have to make money. That's just a fact of life, but it's becoming more and more, I don't know. The more you put into it like that, I think the more it gets vanilla or watered down, and you can never take away this power from these gentlemen. There's no doubt about it. They work hard. I think they're underpaid for what, you know, coming in, whether it's one, two, three. That's a whole nother thing. But I see you, like myself, like the rawness of lifting, okay? I think that is. But when I turn on and I see the beginning, or I see the early to mid-80s, or even some of in the 90s, because if you know me, I'm a big fan of Ahola. I like the idea, you know, Ahola was, if you go out and read about it, he was really the first one to ever train all the events. He had it all in his backyard, basically.
He was like the smallest guy winning.
Yeah, beating the shit out of 330, 350 pounders. You know what it was with
technique,
a whole...
He was technically better.
He was just good. But that's a whole other thing. So, all right. So, Kazmaier, obviously, you're the guy that knows who he is, what he's done. You're the guy
okay.
asked... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I'm talking, and everybody's looking at me like, how does this guy know all this stuff about him? Because we start talking about, like, a World's Strongest Man where he was doing the sumo wrestling.
Sure.
And he talked about sumo wrestling, the black guy, the football player.
Yep, yep.
And he was like, that guy was so scared of me. He was like, I just pushed him right out of the ring.
Yeah,
and he's
absolutely.
Like, because he went berserk because his hamstrings were all messed up.
Yep.
Because he said he had torn both of his hamstrings on both sides. They weren't completely torn off, but he had torn them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they were
partially
torn.
Yeah, yep.
He partially torn his hamstrings, both of them on both legs, and he said he just standing up to walk, he was like, it was so painful. He couldn't even stand up hardly. So when he walked over there, if you look in the video, you can kind of see it too. He's kind of like... you know, kind of like high on his heels, you know, like kind of moving around side to side, you know, getting himself ready. But he gets himself like he just starts. He's like, I got myself like totally crazy in the head, you know, like I went berserk. I had to like get myself amped up because I knew that I was going to the chance of me tearing my hamstrings worse was there. So I needed to make sure I could keep it together while I was in there competing because. And hit because this is the way Bill Kazmaier said he's like when I competed there was no backing out if you got injured, you just did the best you could
exactly.
around it.
Yep.
He's like I tore my pec and stuff, but I still had a couple of events to go, so I made it happen. That's why the intensity, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like That's when I tore my biceps off. That was the mindset I had. I'm like, I didn't make it this far to be done. I'm like, I'm going to work out until the day I get surgery. And then when I get done with surgery, I'm taking these things off and I'm getting back into rehabbing myself and I'm going to get back, you know, like, and that's what I did, you know, like, and so that's that intensity that I could relate to, you know, like, you know, the drive, the want to be like, there is no excuses. Like if I get hurt, that's what happens in battle, but you're like a soldier. You don't stop moving forward just because you can't just say time out, I'm hurt.
Yeah,
you still have to deal with it.
Yeah, time out will get your head blown off. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the whole thing.
So
and,
it's like,
yeah.
So if you, but you know, and now this is a sporting event, but when you take it seriously like that to a whole nother level of intensity, dude, it inspires people.
Yeah.
You know, and they can tell the difference. You know, like people can see the difference. Like, wow, this stuff really must mean a lot to this guy. You know, like. He's willing to continue competing even though he's all tore up, you know?
Well, that's called you can usually tell people just visually looking at him in the eyes that are really intense, that are doing things or have done meaningful things. There's a separation in
Dude, Bill is really spiritual too.
Yeah,
let me tell you about that. He's a really spiritual guy.
Yep.
You would not know this by watching his videos alone. I didn't know any of this until I talked to him on Saturday. And so he was talking about like when he broke the world record in the WOB, in the weight over bar.
Yep.
With the 56 pound weight. He was talking about when he broke that world record like 11 times. He broke his own world record over and over again.
Yep.
Is what he kept doing. His best throw ever was a little over 18, like 18.3 or something like that.
Yep.
You know, and I guess Hathor's throwing like 19 or something like that now, 19.6 or.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, you know, for a guy that was 6'3", throwing almost as well as a guy at 6'9", that's, you know, like, you know, he had a lot of power. Bill was.
Yeah.
Really. Anyway, so he talks about this spiritual power that he was able to access, and he was like, it's in the universe. He's like, it's a universal power that we all have access to, but you have to get in tune with it. He's like, I remember when I was. He was like, when I was doing my pumps, getting ready for the throw, I went through my legs the first one, then I went through my legs the second one, and then on the third one, when I was getting ready to throw it. You know, it seemed like time stopped for me because, like, everything stopped. And he's like, I could visualize myself throwing the weight over the bar. And he talked about the bars there too. There were pieces of wood, so if that weight clipped it, that wood was coming down, or if the weight landed on it, it would break. But now he's talking about the standards now are a bolt or pieces of fucking metal that are bolted into it so you can bang into it and, you know, it won't knock it off. And anyway, so I could tell that he didn't like the way the modern.
No.
He doesn't like the modern standards because it makes it easier to do better.
Hey, it's
That's
just.
That's why he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, he likes the old standards.
Yeah.
Because the old standards for stone lifting, there was no tacky.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the glue. He doesn't like the tacky. He doesn't like that. And I'm like, I grew up with tacky, so to me, I'm like, it's fair. But I can see what he's saying. You know, like how the standards slowly start to change over time, and that things get easier.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Evening the playing field, as they like to call it in the other world.
But you know, I mean, but you gotta look at it like this. If he was doing it nowadays with everything he had back then, with all the if he was using tacky back then, he'd have been doing a lot, you know, like, so he'd have been doing the same shit. So it's like, it doesn't matter what era you grew up in. Everybody's always going to say that their era was harder and all that stuff, but it's really not. It's just different. It's just different standards.
Well, okay, I think his era, though, too, you know, it was new. It was a little bit more primitive, and that's probably a lot of it right there. And I don't know.
You couldn't study the events. But,
no,
you know,
no.
But then again, but that was totally fair because everybody was on the same playing field. Nobody knew the events. Nobody
exactly.
knew how to train for them.
Exactly.
You know, although he did talk about John Paul Sigmerson training a lot with the deadlift apparatus on one of the it was like the 1987 or 1988. It was the 1987. It was like a feat. It's like a Feats of Strength video where it was him, John Paul Sigmerson, and then the other World's Strongest Man winner from England or Britain or whatever.
Yeah,
it was a tall guy, Jeff Capes.
Oh, Capes, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so woo! They were doing a contest, and he was like, the only thing I didn't like was that John Paul Sigmerson had about like 60 different workouts with that apparatus, and I'd never even touched it before, and they were trying to figure out any way they could to beat me.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't let me touch it. They wouldn't let me go over there and put my hands on it until it was my turn to lift. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, that's a trip. I was like, they were trying to, because you were too good, man, because that's how good you were. They had to come up with a way to overcome that because your natural power was beyond anything anybody had ever seen.
Exactly.
You know, so, but anyway, so, he described that. So he talked a little bit about John Paul Sigmerson. He talked a little bit about O.D. Wilson.
Yep.
You know O.D. Wilson.
Yep.
He talked a lot about how he talked about, you know, in the video where he pushes, where they're doing a barrel race in the castle.
Yep.
And, like, O.D. Wilson gets pushed down the stairs or
whatever. Yep.
And everybody thought that Bill was trying to kill him. And he's like, why would I try to hurt my own teammate? No, he's like, that's where everybody got that story all wrong. He's like, that guy was my teammate. And he goes back into the story of him calling him up one day to say, it was after he had won like a powerlifting tournament. Powerlifting tournament. And he calls him up and he's like, hey man, he's like, would you be interested in going over to Europe and do a team event with me? And make $8,000, you know, like you'll make $8,000 in a weekend. And he was like, sure. So they went over there, and he's like, why would I have wanted to hurt my own teammates?
Yeah.
Because if we lose, we don't get the money. And
exactly.
I was going over there for the money. And so it was cool to hear him talk about that. Like, I didn't know that these guys got paid money back then to do this.
Yep.
So I was like, wow. I was like, they were making that kind of money back then?
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude. I was like, that's cool, you know, like to think that I see, you know, I didn't know that kind of stuff. And
right.
so listening
right.
to that and knowing that, and he talks about it. He's like, and plus, when OD fell down there, it was like, if you guys didn't know this, it wasn't like he fell to his death.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It was like right around the corner. It was all flat and it was grass.
Yeah.
So it was like he fell into some grass, you
yep.
know, like,
yep.
So, you know, everybody was all like, oh my God, is OD alive? Is he,
yeah.
is Bill Casimir trying to kill his teammate? He's like, that was just for the ratings on
yeah.
for the TV show and shit. He was like, he was totally fine. That's why I didn't really worry about it. And that's why I was like more mad about have them making us race on this narrow corridor like this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And then he talked about also, he's like, but there, you know, like when we did do that race, that I told them that the corridor was too narrow and that there might be some contact. And the producer was like, how much contact? He's like, a lot of contact. That's
yeah.
what Bill said. He's like, there might be a lot of contact.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, come on, will you?
And the producer was like, oh well, that
yeah.
the rules state, anything
yep.
goes. And he's
yep.
like, all right.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's why Bill was getting physical with his competitors, and they didn't like him because he would like slam into him and
sure,
shit.
Sure, sure. Hey.
Like,
and you got to, when you're there to win, you're there to win. That's the way it goes, you know. And
yeah,
it's I don't know. We got a few minutes left. Do you
yeah.
you got anything
yeah,
else?
Let me just do a recap. So
yeah,
you know the meeting with Bill was great. You know, like I really learned a lot. You know, we got to learn a little bit about his childhood. We got to learn about, you know, the football career. We got to learn a little bit about the wrestling career, how that, you know, didn't work out. You know. He also told us about WWE wrestlers. He said those are some of the nastiest people you'll ever meet. Like,
yeah.
as far as like nasty, when I mean like low life people, you
yeah.
know, like they'll
yeah.
do anything. They'll
yep.
do anything to get on top. You know, he's like,
absolutely.
They pulled some tricks on me when I was in there that you know that weren't cool. You
right.
know, like they did some messed up things to him.
Yep.
To try to mess with his career and shit, you know. Like,
sure.
Because they didn't want him coming in and taking their spot, you
yep.
know. So it's like
yep. Yep.
they were nasty, like they weren't team players kind
right.
of thing.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, so he talks a little bit about the WWE, his career in the wrestling. It wasn't very long. Then he talked mostly about, you know, I asked him, I said, how old were you when you stopped competing? And he was like, it was 1990 was my last year competing, so I was 37.
Okay.
He was born in 1953.
Okay. All right.
And his last year competing was when he was 37. And then he just started commentating for the World's Strongest Man and then doing stuff like that all over the world.
Yeah.
Pretty much ever since, you know.
He's still he's still very imposing, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I asked him how much he weighed, and he's 6'2" now. But he's still 330. He's still 330 pounds.
Wow.
So I was like,
wow.
I was like, you're 330 pounds at 63, at 6'2". I was like, isn't that hard on your body? He's like, no. He's like, you know, the smallest I've been as an adult, is around 280, 285. I got down to 285 a few years ago or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, damn. I was like, 285 is enormous, dude, with 6'2". Shit. And so it's just crazy to think that, you know, the guy is just a genetic freak, and he has the mind of a champion and the heart of a champion. So that's why he was such an amazing person.
Yeah.
And when you look back to that video when he said back when he was in his 20s, when he was in his prime, when he's like, you know, I think I'm the strongest man to ever live. I'll make that statement.
Yeah.
You know, in that video when he says that when he's
yeah.
young.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that looking at his genetics, I have never seen a 63-year-old man that looked as freaking huge. He looks like he could still be competing.
Yeah, I always thought
right
that
now.
Too.
He's
yeah.
so,
yeah.
He is so huge, dude. I'm like, he's definitely a one of a kind person. I mean, Odd Haugen was during Bill Kazmaier's era.
Sure.
You know that?
Yeah, yeah.
He's 60, dude.
Yeah.
Or he might be older than 60.
I think he's in his early 60s.
He might be the same age. So he might,
yeah.
he came up in the Bill Kazmaier era. Of course, we didn't know about Odd Haugen until way later when he finally became a World Strongest Man competitor when he was in his like 40s or early 50s or something like that. So
sure, and he's still relevant. You know,
so these guys are like anyway. So it was a great experience, and you know, here's what I want to talk about as far as expectations.
Yeah,
I never expected that I would meet a guy like this in my life. I always wondered and dreamed what it would be like.
Yeah,
you know, going back to the beginning of the show. But I look back. Here's the one thing I want to take away from this. Had I not been following my dreams and doing what I believed in and following my heart, no matter what hardships I've had to endure, I would never have had a chance, the opportunity to meet Bill, because if I'd have quit on my business when all the other people that I, when some of the other people that I've worked with did, you know, I would never have met my client Sam, who all these months later would tag me in this opportunity to go meet Bill. You know, then I go meet Bill. Things would not have happened had I quit or given up when stuff got hard. You know?
I agree.
So my takeaway from that is the opportunities for your life are like there's so many great things waiting out for you out there that you can't even imagine that are just right around the corner for you. But you can't give up. You got to just keep moving forward.
Yep.
No matter how hard it seems.
Yep.
And just keep having faith that you didn't make it this far for it to fail.
No, I agree.
There's something there that you haven't learned yet. You haven't learned a certain thing yet, and you got to keep working until you learn it. And once you learn it, then you'll go to the next level. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Well, I think too. This is what I say, and we're feeling the pinch real hard right now, as I told Will. But you know, we keep moving and striving and changing and reorganizing. And you know, I got news for you. All these successful people. You know why they got successful was when they hopped on the train. Everybody that jumped on with them was already inspired to do it. And then second of all, nothing is by accident. You know how many times these different companies have changed their strategy over and over until they find one that works. And that's what we're doing right now. So, you know, Will's right on the money with it. And I can tell you from experience, there's days that are vicious to you. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, you know, we got a big 31-day drive right now because we have to become effectively solvent to be able to survive, because the bills to run the show alone are huge, all right, every month. So, you know, when we come out like we have in every show and ask you, go out and look at our two products, contribute, give money to the show, because this show has given everything I've got to everyone for over 2 years. Every month now, the last 2 months, it's growing and expanding bigger and bigger. This isn't by accident. This is by me putting my foot right down day in and day out, no matter what. That's why I ask people, give something to the show. You know, I tell you, go out to Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com, out in PayPal. We have over 21,000 downloads minimum a month now, which is phenomenal for a little over 2 years. If everybody gave me a dollar, we'd be solvent as could be right now. We could expand on all the things we're going to. But I'm going to do it regardless, whatever it takes, because no matter what I got to do, this type of dream just can't die or go away. Because, see, it's such a part of me now, it'd be like trying to split myself in half and live like that. There's no way I'll be able to psychologically live the rest of my life without doing this. So I tell everybody, entrepreneurship is the greatest thing you could ever get into, the freedom. But be ready, because you might have to make decisions that are going to really, really affect you and others. So you have to be on top of your game no matter what. You have to keep learning, reading, listening, not be interesting to everybody else. Show interest in others, okay? That's the important thing that I can draw and tell you from this show. One thing I will tell you, though, which has hurt me economically more than anything, and there's going to be a big series about this in a digital product, is going to be very careful who you deal with on a website, build, marketing campaigns. I'll tell you this, we are on our eighth person, Kelly Johnson. She's phenomenal. She's been doing everything here, and we're working with a marketer right now. But I will tell you this, some of these gems that they talk about on Facebook, I'm going to, and I haven't swore the whole show because I've been trying to keep it down to a minimum. They fucked me out of over $20,000. And it was the reason why I went with these people is because they were highly recommended from people I respect. Can't blame them. I got to shoulder the responsibility. But the thing I'm going to tell everyone is be very careful who you shake hands with. There's an awful lot of bullshit, and I'm going to tell you two things initially that can stop that, because I've done it with numerous people I've interviewed. You ask them these two pertinent questions, I'm going to tell you right now, 99.9 of them I've asked have never called me back. So we're going to get into more and more things here, but that's the way it is. So, Will, I didn't mean to cut you off, but this all goes with expectations, your drive, your framework, your company, who's on your train, who you're letting off the train, and then there's other people that you just draw the line with and say, you know what? It's been great, but enough. You're just not what we need here anymore, and you and I maybe don't foot the bill. So take it away from there. Give out all your info. Comment on any of that. I'll give mine out. And if you'd stay on the line, please, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you can find me on Facebook at Will Dinwiddie or Epic Fitness Solutions. I also got a Instagram, Epic Fitness Solutions, and you can find me at my website, Epic Fitness Solutions. And that's it, man. Great show.
Thank you. Always great to have you on, and what a hell of a story. I know that our family is going to dig that, because that will be up within 5 days. All right, this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio. As I said a little while ago, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Look, and if you feel like you need a change, I'd be very pleased if you would look at it, purchase the Winner Circle or Etched in Stone. These are no BS courses. These have been done here for 15 years minimum at my house, FBC Stone and Steel Yard. I do not put a thing out that has not been time tested, and I will work with anybody if we need to extend anything else. But there's enough material. You know, you heard Will talking about Bill Kazmaier, watching YouTube after YouTube, getting all the information. When you can gather things of importance, when you can gather things that you don't see a lot of people doing anymore, but worked, and a lot of that is due to we don't have establishments like Epic. We don't have establishments like mine anymore, where you're going to walk into these places. Of course, Will's is much bigger than mine, but look and look and look. If it doesn't inspire you without doing anything in either place, I don't know what else to tell you. If you're going to depend on TV and machines, best of luck to you. You're not going to get where you want to go. There's no quick fix. There's no 90-day programs. All there is blood and guts, man. And go out and do it. It's the most important thing. Your health is the most paramount thing in your life. It's not the phones. It's not the cars. It's not the jobs. It's not the wives, the kids, or anything. Will and I fail in our health, we can't do anything for anyone else. And that has not been established, I believe, at all. It's always, look at me on Facebook with my pants down and my boob showing. That ain't getting you anywhere, folks. That might get you some looks or a few sells, but let's see if they're still around in a year. I'm serious. And it's the same way with the guys. I see what, you know, I don't care. That's not training or anything to me, but that's a whole nother subject. So go out and check those all out. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the shows Will and I have done. Obviously, we'll have this great one up about pretty much it's like Bill or Will doing an interview with Bill Kazmaier. It's awesome. I can't wait to do this one. Also, too, iTunes and Stitcher. 5-star review. Really, it's not called iTunes. It's called Apple now. Go out and give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We appreciate that from everybody. Also, AHA, which is AHA, that's a directory for podcasting. You can get M&M on your car radio 24/7 because all the new cars have the capability, and you can buy aftermarket. I believe Alpine makes the stereo for that now. Also, too, if you'd like Will and I to do a show together, a specific show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, too, I'll leave you with a multitude of things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, five words that inspire will change your life. As my mom said, when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, twist it, break it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And I'm training tonight, and I can't wait. If I didn't have a pod this afternoon, I would say no go. But can't do it. We got business here, and that's got to be done. Also, too, the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone, Domination. We don't follow anyone's path. We make our own. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show since the very beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. Well, here's another testosterone-filled show without a doubt. And we'll say that for the next 30 years. Frank Klein, my greatest business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. My good friend John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, who we lost almost 3 years ago to the date. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you on your worst day or best day not to say it. It will put a smile on your face just like me. Keep smiling. And I thank John Ridge for everything he did and has done for me. I know he's with me no matter what. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join the family. Be part of this massive revolution that's happening. I didn't say this in the beginning, but we will have a link very shortly. If you've seen anything with our good friend Martin Janzix, we are going to be linking to him, and I'm already linked on his site, and it's all about historic stones. He goes through everything, the weights of them, how to get there. It's incredible stuff, and he's asked me if we could do that. Put a link on M&M and FBC, and that isn't even a thought. That is a done deal because he is an exceptional person. Also, too, as I said, the great Les Brown, you know, you all have greatness, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I got to tell you, doing this show has been the greatest thing I feel in my life. I mean, I can never not say all the things I've done with training and all that and how we've helped so many people, but to be able to have the ability and the honor to be able to get what we think out there in the whole world, as Will was talking about, you know, you think enough about something, it's coming your way. And Bill Kazmaier is the example right there with Will. Don't think that it can't happen. You're going to run through a lot of walls to get to where you want to get, and at that point, don't get lazy because you'll go back the other way. It's always a constant to get better. And if you can do that for the rest of your life, man, oh, man, are you going to have a happy life. So all I can tell you is this is the way to go. Enjoy everything. Will, thanks for being on the show. It's always an honor to have you on, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It was a lot of fun, as always.
It always is, and I appreciate you on the show and all the support. So, for Will Dinwiddie, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll get Will on here very shortly again, I promise. But I'll tell you what, today's only Wednesday. And is today Wednesday? Yeah, Tuesday. It's Wednesday. Wow, I'm all screwed up. Today's Wednesday, and you got four more days to do something magnificent. And then you got the rest of your life. So what are you waiting for? The world is calling on you to make a contribution. Get your head out of the sand and get your hands out of your pockets. So I'm telling you right now, do it. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.